I'd like to preface my message tonight with a word of explanation. Most of you probably don't know who's responsible for the preaching assignments, but Pastor Barkman puts together the preaching schedule 2 months in advance, 2 months at a time. I've known for about 6 weeks that I was scheduled to preach tonight. And when you're weighing and considering, okay, what do I preach? Well, is it Lord's Table Sunday? And if it is, that directs you in a certain direction, obviously. But there's a lot of subjectivity as to what I preach, what Pastor Latour preaches, because we don't preach every Sunday. We don't preach consecutive verse-by-verse exposition. The message I've prepared tonight, if I didn't believe what I believe about God, I would have been in scramble mode this afternoon. My flesh would have reasoned that there's something more appropriate to preach tonight in light of the sobering news we got concerning the passing of Gene Tao. And yet, knowing that the confidence I have that God directs and leads as to what is preached, what was hidden from me and from you was not hidden from God. God knew that He was going to take Gene Tao home this afternoon. God knew that I had a preaching assignment tonight, and God, knowing all of that, directed me to preach what I'm going to preach tonight. And I'm going to preach to you about old age. You say, well, where did you come up with that? Well, look around you. We are an aging congregation. And one thing that I've learned from wiser men, obviously, than me, Dr. J. Adams, he said, adequate preaching material for the pulpit oftentimes manifests itself in multiplied ways in the congregation. In other words, if you become aware that, let's say, there are some families, marriages that are struggling, and it's not just one or two, but it's maybe 8 or 10 or 12, depending on the size of the church, it might be a wise thing for you to bring to bear the Word of God as it applies to marriage. Sounds wise, doesn't it? So for a long time, I've been thinking about the needs of our congregation as we carry on, and as the Lord tarries His coming and we become older and older, of this subject. So I've been thinking about it, praying about it, studying, and God directed me to Psalm 71. So that preface information, let me move to a more formal introduction. What age do you need to be considered old? That's a good question, isn't it? Some say, well, you're only as old as you think you are. You're only as old as you want to believe you are. It's funny, some of the things you remember from your childhood. I couldn't have been more than 11 years old, and my favorite aunt had come to the house, and she had turned 50. And in my youthful love for her, and I guess insensitivity in a good way, I said to Aunt Betty, well, Aunt Betty, just think, you're a half a century old. She wasn't flattered with that. She was quite taken back. And I, for me to be able to remember that 35 years later, her response must have been pretty much shock. But old age is a relative term, isn't it? If you live in the land of Zimbabwe, if you're 50 years of age, you're considered old. With the advancement in medicine and people live longer, and I think that age extends on in the day and age in which we live here. I thought about a story I heard about a woman. On the occasion of her 100th birthday, she was asked if she had any regrets. And she said, "Well, yeah, I regret. Had I known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself." Now, you have to think about that for a minute. My father-in-law, who's been in the presence of the Lord for, oh my, maybe 20 years, wrote a poem entitled "Growing Older and Wiser." There's some humor here, but there's also some insight. He says, "As my body grows weaker and my eyes are getting dim, my chance of getting out alive is becoming rather slim. I used to think that never would I be growing old, but how age would overtake me was a story left untold. My mother never told me about the birds and the bees. She didn't even mention this arthritis of my knees. But now that I am wiser and can work these problems out, I know that with these aches and pains, we all must have our bout." And he had a unique way of setting truth to poetry. I mentioned when I read this psalm that I would say something to you about its authorship. And I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I think most of you are aware that the book of Psalms, 150, that the book of Psalms comprise, is divided up into subcategories. There are five books that make up the book of Psalms. And this psalm is part of book two. In fact, it's very, very close to the end of book two. And in book two, there are only two psalms that don't have a preface that tells us the context or who the author is, who we owe these words to. And one of them here is Psalm 71. And the other is Psalm 43. So of all the psalms that make up book 2, which are Psalms 42 through 72, there are two exceptions to authorship given. Again, one is found here in Psalm 73, and the other is in the psalm we're looking at tonight. Most commentators believe the reason there's not authorship assigned to Psalm 73 is because Psalm 73 is a continuation of Psalm 40. The reason there's no authorship for Psalm 43 is because Psalm 43 is a continuation of Psalm 42. The same argument is employed with many commentators when we look at Psalm 71. And we won't take the time to read the five verses that make up Psalm 70, but if you were, you see the same themes spoken of. If you just were to ignore the headings and just read verse 5 of Psalm 70 and go right to Psalm 71, it flows almost seamlessly. So that's one reason that there's validation to believe David is the author of Psalm 71. He's assigned authorship of Psalm 70. Now, there are a number of arguments, and when you put all the arguments together, it seems rather irrefutable that David is the author. Let me give you a couple of others. The first three verses of Psalm 71 are direct quotations of Psalm 31. You heard me read Psalm 71. Listen to the first three verses of Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. First couple of verses are almost verbatim. And not just, we know that David authored Psalm 31. So because of the similarity, logic says he also authored Psalm 71. The themes, the way David writes is consistent with this psalm. What else do I want to say to you about this? Knowing David's life, he speaks of greatness. Verse 21, you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Obviously, it had to be somebody who was great for his greatness to increase. And David would certainly fit that description. And one final thing to point to is you come to the end of book 2, Psalm 72, the last verse of the book ends book 2. You have this in verse 20. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Maybe your translation says, this concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. It seems logical that if indeed David wrote Psalm 71, it isn't hard for us to think that as he comes to the end of this book, that he would give himself to speak about old age, and in particular, his personal experience. So for all of those reasons, I'm confident that David is the author of Psalm 71. You say, well, how much difference does that make? It makes some, but not a great deal. Because as you look at the content of Psalm 71, it's a psalm of old age, and therefore it applies to all who are old or will be, which is going to be true for most of us sooner or later. All right? Charles Spurgeon said this about Psalm 71, quote, we have here the prayer of the aged believer who in holy confidence of faith, strengthened by a long and remarkable experience, pleads against his enemies and asks further blessings for himself. End of quote. I'd like for us to look at Psalm 71 tonight under four headings, and let me give those to you. Number one, old age and its challenges. Number two, old age and its perspective. Number three, old age and its unique advantages. And then finally, old age and its present opportunities. So let's begin with old age and its challenges. What are the challenges of old age? Well, David mentions a number of them. And what is it that he mentions? Well, look with me at Psalm 71, and begin at verse 9. David is praying. He says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails, for my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him.' O God, do not be far from me." What are the challenges of old age that we can pull out of this text? Well, the first would be the weakness of body and the challenge of diminishing strength. He says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." One of the problems with getting older is that you lose the strength and many of the abilities you had when you were younger. And you don't have to be in your 70s or 80s to experience that. Carly was talking to her mother last night on the telephone, and we had worked around the house, and used to be that I could work from dawn till dusk, nonstop, stop and get a drink, eat lunch, and just keep on working, and my endurance would hold up, but not anymore. I've got to pace myself. I've got to think about the appropriation of my time and my strength. And sometimes it can be a little depressing talking to Carly's mother. She's 86 years old, and when you hear her rendition of all that she's done in the day, you become tired. Well, I baked a pie and took it to the neighbor, and I mowed my lawn, and we went visiting, and you know, you're like, "Well, wait a minute, that can't be you." But seriously, she's that. She's got that kind of endurance. But I was listening as Carly was talking to her, and she said, "Well, we're slowing down too, Mom." And I thought, that's exactly right. We're slowing down too. And it can be frustrating that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We remember days when we could do things, and we can't do them anymore. And sometimes our will overrides our capacity, and for instance, it's not wise when you're in your 70s and 80s to be getting on a ladder. And sometimes we say, "Well, I used to be able to do that. I ought to be able to do that." Well, some of us have got up the ladder and got down without a mishap, but you know how that can go. So, the loss of physical strength, the loss of our capacities that we once enjoyed. I came across this quotation from John Wesley. He kept a diary throughout most of his life, and he lived to be 88 years of age. And this was an entry in his diary on June the 28th, 1789. It says, "Sunday, 28. This day I enter my 86th year. I now find I grow old. My sight is decayed so that I cannot read a small print unless in a strong light. My strength is decayed so that I walk much slower than I did some years since. My memory of names, whether of persons or places, is decayed till I stop a little to recollect them. What I should be afraid of is if I took thought for the morrow, that my body should weigh down my mind and create either stubbornness by the decrease of my understanding or peevishness by the increase of bodily infirmities." I think we can relate to that. Some of us could echo that. We can't hear as well as we used to. We can't read the small print anymore. We get tired faster. We don't sleep as well. It's what David is talking about when he tells God, "Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. So the first challenge of old age that's mentioned here is diminishing physical strength. But secondly, David speaks of the continuation of trouble. And I think a second problem, a second challenge of old age, is that we don't outgrow trials and difficulties. Not in every case, but many times they are a constant companion. The things that have dogged us in our earlier years follow us into the twilight years of our life. Some saints of God have struggled with their health for years and years and years and years. And the only way you grow out of that is for God to usher you home. But David is speaking about enemies. Those who sought to discredit him, those who sought to take his life. He says there in verse 10, "For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together." And if you know anything about the life of David, you know that his life was marked by enemies. King Saul pursued him for years. There was an uprising that he had to put down in his kingdom. There were those who opposed him. There were enemies of Israel that he was at war with constantly. And David is saying that the enemies that he had were as present as much at the end of his life as they were at the beginning. And we can relate to that, can't we? Family problems tend to linger. Sometimes, by the grace of God and the mercy of God, there's resolution. And we enjoy harmony and fellowship that perhaps was broken in the past, but not always, and more often than not, those things linger on. And as I mentioned, health issues and other problems. And the issue here is that problems do not go away or even grow lighter as we grow older. In fact, they're often more difficult and made more difficult because our capacities are reduced to deal with them. You know how it is, that just simple tasks that used to be, well, you didn't even have to think about them. Keeping the lawn up and keeping a car up, and as you grow older and older, those become pretty daunting tasks, don't they? But not just those two things, but there's another that David speaks of here as we're thinking about the challenges of old age. And it's number three, being alone. Being alone, dealing with loneliness. You notice what he says? Verse 11, those are his enemies who have taken stock of David's life, and they see that he's aged, and with his age has come the passing away of friends and family. And his case was so acute that his enemies even said, "Even God has forsaken him." You see him giving voice to that? Verse 10, "For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him.'" And he prays, "O God, do not be far from me." The third thing that was a challenge to David and is a challenge to us in our old age is that as we grow older, and as David grew older, he had fewer people to help him. To solve or help shoulder the burdens that he knew. He describes himself as being utterly alone with none to help but God. And if you're going to be alone, It's better to be alone with God than to be surrounded with lots of people without God. So he wasn't, that wasn't just, oh, by the way, I still have God. No, that was his treasure. That is what his, the foundation of his life. And it was the one thing that he wasn't, as much as he could express it, unwilling to part with. Please, God, do not forsake me. Stay by my side. Be my faithful companion, even to the end. And again, speaking of my mother-in-law, she's 86 years of age, and one of the things that has taken a toll on her emotionally and psychologically is that most of the people she grew up with, went to school with, worked with, lived in the neighborhood with, are gone. She's made more trips to the funeral home than she can count. And the longer you live, the greater likelihood is that other people will precede you in death. And it brings the challenge of loneliness. Many in our family, our church family, know that acutely. For some, God has called their mate home to glory. And you're left alone. Well, not alone, but you have God, you have friends, but there's no substitute for your mate, your earthly mate. So, that's one of the challenges among the others that we've enumerated. But we need to move on. First thing we see here are the challenges of old age. Secondly, I want you to see old age and its perspective. Old age and its perspective. David gives us reflection. He reflects concerning old age, and they're not, these reflections are not so that we'll wring our hands and complain about how bad life is. But David wants us to see, and I believe God would want us to see, that even old age is given to us by God and is one of his good gifts and should be used for his glory and the blessings and the well-being of others. So what is the old, what is the perspective that old age brings? Well, David could look back over his long life and reflect on what he had learned about God and experienced about him. That's one of the great advantages that David knew. He speaks in the early verses of the psalm of knowing God from his youth. Verse 5, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb." So David had an entire, nearly an entire lifetime to reflect upon and rejoice in. And some of us can say an amen to David's experience that we've known the Lord from our youth, from an early age. And let me say something to you. There are times when people stand here and give a testimony, and those who have been raised in a Christian home and have come to faith in Christ at an early age, there's a tendency for you to say, well, you know what, my testimony isn't very flamboyant and it's not very colorful. Never apologize that God saved you from a life of sin. That's far better than being saved out of a life of sin. Okay? David knew that from an early age, from his youth, he'd known the Lord. And if you are in that camp, rejoice and give thanks. I can't say that. And many others here could not say that. But some of you can. And that's cause for great rejoicing. It maximizes your ability to look over your shoulder, look in the rearview mirror of life, and count your blessings. Rejoice in the faithfulness of God. Of God, which is what David is doing here. (Clears throat) I like the testimony that history records of Polycarp, the aged bishop of Smyrna, who on February the 22nd, AD 156, was martyred. He was 86 years of age. And those who were given the task of executing him were sympathetic to him. They liked him. And they appealed to him. They said, you know, what's the big deal, Polycarp? Just pay homage to Caesar, prolong your life, your what is there to lose? And this is what Polycarp is reportedly is recorded of saying. Quote, "For 86 years I have been Christ's slave, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me?" Isn't that wonderful? Despite his age, despite his physical weakness, Polycarp was not weak. He was strong in faith, and he remembered the strength and faithfulness of God to him throughout the many long years of his service for Christ, as he says, as he served the Lord as a slave. And one of the things that we need the eye of faith to see, that it's obvious that we are physically aging and losing our physical capacities. But the Bible causes us to look beyond what we can see with our eyes. The Bible says, though we the outer man be wasting away, the inner man is being renewed day by day. And we don't want to lose sight of that. It's wonderful to hear the aged saint stand and give testimony and speak of a God who's been faithful to them throughout their lifetime. It thrills me to hear that. Because what it says to me is, well, I haven't lived as long as they have, and the God who's been faithful to them is going to be faithful to me. And it encourages us to keep on persevering. Keep on trusting. Keep on looking to the Lord. We're thinking about old age and its perspective. And David says something there in verse 7. He says, "I have become as a wonder to many." I have become as a wonder to many. And there's some differences of opinion exactly what is being referred to there in that phrase. But I think if you consider the context, he says, "I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge." And I think what David is pointing to is the difficulties of his life, the calamities that he knew, the enemies that God had enabled him to persevere with. And despite all the suffering, despite all the heartache, despite all the challenges and the difficulties and the trials of his life, he's saying, God used those things to draw attention to my life. And it's not just about my life, but it's about the God who has sustained my life. And I think of many of the saints of God in this assembly who have a history with Beacon Baptist Church who could bear testimony like that. I think of our dear sister Mary Shaw. She could say, "I have become as a wonder to many. I have looked at her life, observed it from a distance, and it's caused me to stand in awe of the grace and mercy of God that has sustained her all these years. She hasn't shriveled up. She hasn't become a bitter person. There's still life and vitality and a beauty about her life that thrills me. And how do you explain that apart from a God who's been faithful to her?" Gene Tao, we know Gene struggled the last 2 or 3 years of his life. But what can we say about Gene Tao? You know, it's one of the, there's a couple of things that if you've not, if you're not a part of Beacon in the Know and you don't keep up with church news that's not dispensed here from the pulpit, that's a wonderful vehicle where information is sent to you. And one thing that is an advantage to us is that vehicle. Becky Tao has been faithful to dispense information and give updates, and we've been able to keep up with their persevering journey. She gives us medical updates. She talks about God being faithful to them. We're still trusting the Lord. We're thankful for the church family. And if you're not a part of Beacon in the Know, you've missed something there. Because there's a history there of a couple of years. And what it attests to is not that Gene Tao was such a strong man, but that Gene Tao was sustained by a strong God. God granted persevering grace right to the very end. Gene finished well. It's thankworthy, it's praiseworthy. Well, let me move on quickly here to our third heading, old age and its unique advantages. Old age and its unique advantages. Not only did David look to the past to remember God's goodness and faithfulness to him over the many long years of his life, he also looked to the future in terms of the work that was yet remaining for him to do. And he knew that if God had left him on this earth, God had something for him to do. God wasn't through with him. And it was because there was work to do that David could say in verse 17 and 18, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation." When I say old age and its unique advantages, what I mean by this is the person who is of old age is in the unique position and has the unique advantage of speaking to the next generation with credibility. Somebody who's walked 20 years longer on life's path with the Lord can speak to those of us who are 20 miles back or 20 years back and say, "You know what? I'm this far out ahead of you, and God hadn't failed me yet. And God isn't going to fail you. He has sustained me. I persevere because He's given me grace to persevere." And again, I want to challenge those of you that for reasons that you could be here legitimately before God on Wednesday night, but are not, you're missing something. There's an opportunity afforded on Wednesday night that's not afforded at any other of our public gatherings. And that's for people of the church to give testimony of God's dealings in their life. And on this past Wednesday night, we heard from two older saints of God who spoke to us, spoke to the next generation, and were giving praise to God and thanksgiving to God for God's faithfulness. And if you're not here on Wednesday night, you miss that. One of the things that we purpose to do in the raising of our children, because we were surrounded by so many people who were God had called to vocational ministry, whether it was pastoral ministry or a life of service on the mission field, when we would have them in our home and we would break bread together, we didn't send, there were times that we would send the children away, but more often than not, We would keep the children around the table. We wanted for our children to hear people rehearsing about God and God's dealings and God's faithfulness and God's provision. And it got to be when they could go play, they didn't want to go play. They wanted to stay right there. They wanted to be a part of adult conversation. That's something that I'd encourage us to do. Those of you that still have small children, have people in your home. Don't send them to go play. They need to be a part. Now, they're not going to pick up on everything that's going on or everything that's being said, but when they hear mom and dad and their friends conversing and talking about God and His dealings and how precious God is and how we're committed to God and God's kingdom and all those things, nothing but good can come from that. That's what David was doing. He was taking advantage that God has prolonged his life and God had given him a platform, and he was speaking to the next generation, as he says, "I declare your power to the next generation." I haven't lived my entire life. I don't think I have. But some of you have lived longer than I have, and there's things that you've learned by experience. It'll be a help to me and be a help to others. So don't entertain thoughts, well, I'm old, there isn't anything more I can do. I've done my turn, I've served in the church. We need to think outside the box. When you say, I've done my turn, well, maybe you served in the nursery and you taught children's church and you taught Sunday school and you, for whatever reason, don't feel you can do that anymore. That doesn't mean your ministry's over. Right? If you're still living and you're still breathing and you're still walking with God, there's something that you can say and some contribution you can make to the body of Christ and to other saints that are around you. So we've seen old age and its challenges, old age and its perspective, old age and its unique advantage. Lastly, old age and its present opportunities. Old age and its present opportunities. Again, David has looked to the past to remind himself of God's faithfulness and God's power. He looks to the future to remind himself to the work that God still has for him to do. And then, having done both of those things, he turns to the present and begins to do exactly what he has been talking about. And what is that? He bears witness to God now. Notice verse 19. David says, "Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you?" One of the themes that David was speaking to was the righteousness of God. And in the context, I do not believe that this is judicial righteousness. It's not the righteousness imputed to us that justifies us before God. What David is saying is, when he speaks of the righteousness of God, is that God, whatever God does, my life has taught me, life's experience has taught me that God makes no mistakes. God always does what's right. And that's what he's giving voice to. And it's good for people who have lived longer than some of the rest of us to say, you know what? I've lived more life, I've experienced more than you have, and here's the conclusion of the matter. God has never done me wrong. There's nowhere I can point to that says God has done wrong. That's what David is saying. The God of the earth will do right, has done right, and he has done right by me. Therefore, God can be trusted. You can vanquish any thought from your mind questioning whether God can be trusted. God can be trusted. David is saying, my life attests to it. And then he speaks of God's faithfulness. And in one sense, the entire psalm has been about God's faithfulness. His faithfulness in the past, and the prayer of the psalmist that God will remain faithful to him in his old age. He wants them to know, those who are reading this, those that he is speaking to, that God is utterly faithful. God can be trusted. We sang earlier, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Wherever my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Until the race is run, until the journey's done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way." Why? If we understand that all of life is a stewardship, if God teaches you something, it's not just for you, it's for you to pass on to somebody else. And we're all learning, we're all being taught by God. And we sang earlier, "Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. All that my life, all that I have needed, you have supplied." So here's a psalm for old age. Old age in its challenges, old age in its perspective, old age in its unique advantage, and old age in its present opportunities. May God give us grace to walk in obedience and to profit from his word, shall we pray? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's timely. Thank you for how you have ordained this portion of your word to be considered tonight. Strengthen us, Lord, in the inner man. Meet our needs as you know them to be. Remind us, our God, of how great you are. We bless you for your faithfulness to your children. We bless you, Father, for the confidence we have in you. That you, who was faithful to David throughout his life and have been faithful to every saint of God throughout the eons of time, will be faithful to this generation and to the next as long as you tarry your coming. We bless you and praise you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.